Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, we know that over the last few days, South Africa has once again become a destination of four people fleeing war. A group of Gazans arrived at our Tambo on a chartered flight with incomplete documentation, questions swirling about who arranged the flight. We started to speaking about that a little bit earlier. South Africa accepted them out of compassion and empathy, and I believe that was the correct decision. That's not the point, what I believe or not. Either way, I guess the question is, what now? Can South Africa afford to take in more refugees? We know what has happened. Our borders are porous. We have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of refugees or undocumented people in South Africa. What does that mean for us? To help us think this through, I'm joined by Gabriel Krause. He's a writer and analyst at the Institute of Race Relations and Executive Director of IRR Legal. Gabriel, thank you for joining us once again. Hope you are well. Can you start by helping us to frame this? When you look at this latest group that has been admitted to South Africa, what questions should South Africa and South Africans be asking?
Hi, Howard. Thank you. I think there's a few. I think this has been a very confusing story to many people, certainly to me. The first question is, you know, who arranged this and why did it seem to be a somewhat botched trip with the people arriving in a sort of undocumented way? And there, you know, I was reading articles about the Al-Majdi organization that is said to be behind the flight. And it does seem that there's clear evidence of its website having doctored photos to create fake backstories. And there's something odd about that. And I think that South Africans, some will want to know, you know, who's really doing this and why. I think the next question is, who's going to take care of these people and survive here? Initially, it does seem like Gift of the Givers has said it will foot the bill, so to speak. But I wonder if that will remain the case. It's a lot of 150 people is a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, are they going to integrate into this country? So the third question is, you know, how long is anyone expected to stay here? Obviously, 23 of the people who were on that flight have already moved on to other countries. Mm-hmm. Are more people going to be leaving, or are they going to be staying? And if they're staying, how is that going to work out? And it is the case that we, you know, we're a big rainbow republic. We want to be warm, heart, lead with strong humane values. And on the other hand,
The line is really, really not
challenges.
Yeah. So, Gabriel, who funds this? Is this funded by taxpayers? How does this work?
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying, like, if they're going to stay for a long time and Gift of the Givers can't take care of them the whole time, then it does seem like taxpayers would probably have to step in. And then those questions about, you know, who, you know, how did this end up happening becomes even more urgent.
Yeah. At what point does government have an obligation, if at all, to talk to the people of South Africa and ask if, you know, what our feelings are on this, considering that there is an enormous amount of financial strain, many people in South Africa not having access to the most basic of basic electricity, healthcare, schooling, safety and security. Surely that in a country where we are under strain, where people are under strain, this is a very, very relevant question.
I think so. Although, you know, Howard, I could reframe it like this. I was going over the numbers this morning, and in principle, we really should be able to afford to take care of 150 refugees. Of course. Because it's like our government expenditure is like 2.5 trillion and 200, 250 billion annually goes to social grants, and then nearly a trillion to wages for government workers, and then 1.2 trillion for procurement. If we were spending all that money effectively, everyone would have food, water, electricity, basic needs, security taken care of, and we would still have extra left over in order to do, you know, warm-hearted gestures. Mm. So, you know, part of the reason that we're so poor is that, you know, we waste, Treasury estimated a few years ago, 40% of that 1.2 trillion in procurement, and the government salaries, you know, it's like there's a lot of data to show that our government salaries are well ahead of the private sector, and not because government workers are producing extra value, but rather because, you know, the union capture system has created a rent-seeking extraction there. So, you know, it is, I think South Africans are kind of torn between, you know, on the one hand, it's like, well, we should have enough money to be able to take care of 150 people if they're, you know, in dire straits. And on the other hand, like, we can't afford to take care of ourselves. We've got children literally dying of starvation in the Eastern Cape. And I don't know, all of arrows in my analysis end up pointing back to maladministration at the top. You know, obviously there was a good win over the weekend with S&P saying we're now double junk instead of triple junk. And we want to, you know, enjoy that. But it is the case that until we really change quite structurally how money, government money is spent, every time anything surprising happens, it's going to create alarm, I think, to many reasonable South Africans who think we are already underwater here. We can't afford to take anything else on.
This seems to have really, really, in a way, gotten under the skin of South Africans. The response hasn't been particularly warm and fuzzy. How do you think this plays out now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. As I say, there is, if private charity is taking care of these refugees, in terms of the financial is kind of say, even though your passports weren't properly stamped, we'll let you in. Then I think South Africans are going to let bygones be bygones and let the water under the bridge. I think the big question is going to be in the week to come, in the months to come, do private charities continue to support run out of the ability or the patience or the will to do so. And then if it does flip into the hands of the government, I think the issue is going to raise its head in a way that's going to be quite hard to deal with.
We do need to leave it there. The line is really not a good one. We are struggling. I see that Bernard said, is the refugee incident not in some way related to the G20? Their arrival seems to be coincidentally timed. I think that is certainly a narrative that government is trying to put forward, that there's this third force trying to embarrass them. I'm not sure that that is the case or not. It seems to me to be just a little bit alert. Trite. I'm not sure that is the case, but we will find out more information on this, I have no doubt.